This recording, California 21, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bait the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in a place that is fondly called the Valley. It's located in Southern California, a little bit north of Los Angeles. It's a very residential area. It has a university. It has a few community colleges. And overall, I think it's a really special place. It's incredibly diverse with people from different countries, different religions, different cultural backgrounds. And it's something I've always really appreciated about home. I did grow up in a neighborhood that was primarily Spanish-speaking, with immigrants from Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, like my own parents. And I think that that made for a really unique, or better, special experience. I was able to connect with other kids about where our parents were from, where they might have been from, and we got to bond over things like music and food and travel. I have a specific memory of explaining to a friend that every summer we drove down to Mexico because my family's from a border town, and it took 6 or 7 hours, and she couldn't believe it. Her family must have been from southern Mexico, because she explained that it takes a whole day just to fly. How could we possibly drive? And I think that was the beginning of when I really started thinking of, like, oh, yeah, Mexico is a different place. It's not just where my parents came from. It's another country. It's far. It's big. It's diverse in itself. And yeah.
Nunca he considerado que tengo un nivel altísimo de español. Creo que tengo un nivel bueno, un nivel que es muy útil y que me facilita poder expresarme de una forma correcta. Pero yo aprendí español en la primaria, tuve igual 5 o 6 años, y después de conseguir un fluidez muy aceptable, dejé de usar la idioma durante todo mi vida escolar, en la secundaria y sobre todo en el instituto, que casi nunca hablaba en español. Desde que he empezado a vivir aquí en España, sí que ha mejorado muchísimo. Tengo muchísimo más oportunidad para usarlo y creo que he adoptado y he aprendido muchísimo jerga o vocabulario de la calle que de aquí de Madrid, y eso resulta que tengo un español muy muy americanizado, pero con vocabulario de Latinoamérica, de Centroamérica, y con una forma de expresarme también muy madrileño. Y a veces digo que como es un poco del idioma Frankenstein, que suena como un americano, pero también se nota de donde he aprendido muchísimo del idioma.